Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm Jason Harden, here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us today on the journey. Roger, we're wrapping up a series that we've been in Fridays throughout the month of March. We've titled this, He Kept, He Fought, He Finished. We've taken it from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul uses that language in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so we've just been thinking through, lots of people start, not everybody finishes, but what is it going to take to finish and finish well? In episode 1 of this little 4-part series, we talked about the importance of a good and an honest heart. We talked about the idea that we have been entrusted with the faith. We are simply one in a long relay of runners in this race that we'll talk about today. Last Friday, we talked about the good fight, what it makes it good, and what it means to fight for the Lord. But today, we're zeroing in on this idea of the race and finishing the race. Roger, what stands out to you about that phrase in this powerful passage?
Well, you know, as we've said each time, we notice these are action words. I have fought, I have finished, I have kept. We also notice the personal pronoun. It was I. Paul fought, Paul finished, and Paul kept. This was not someone else doing this for him. It wasn't the church. It was Paul himself. We use these verses a lot at funerals, and I think it's very fitting for a life that has completed and a life that has walked with the Lord all these years. And so as we zero in on this last phrase here today, the I have finished the course, or I have finished the race, different translations say, there's two thoughts that come out of that. First of all, is finishing, and then it's the race itself. So let's talk about the race to begin with, and then we'll talk about the finishing of the race. You know, the race is not a sprint. It's not a short race. It's a marathon. And as in any race, there are boundaries. My boys ran cross country. And, you know, when you're out there running through the woods, it's easy just to cut through the woods. And there's been stories about that with the Boston Marathon, about somebody, you know, driving a car up some way, and then they get out near the finish line and get out. Well, they cheated. They didn't finish it. They didn't stay within the boundaries. And so part of that race is defined by God. He sets the perimeters, and we must stay with that. And I think that's a good concept we see with that idea there.
Yeah, a race, I can't just decide, okay, even if it's the same distance, that, well, I'm going to chart my own path. You know, we live in this era where people, you'll hear it off and on if you're really listening. People will talk about my truth, and maybe my truth is different than your truth, but what makes the most difference in my life is if I figure out what my truth is, and I'm going to speak my truth and live my truth. Well, it's important for us to realize that sort of language doesn't show up in God's inspired revelation to mankind. He talks about truth, but in terms of the truth. And just like if one of your boys showed up first thing Saturday morning for a cross-country race and he decided that he wanted to take a completely different path, well, he could get to the end where the officials are and say, I ran my race, I ran my path. Everybody knows those officials would say, well, good for you, but you didn't run the path, right?
They would get their prize, but not the prize.
Right. Right. And I think, yeah, that's a good way of thinking about it. A prize is available. Right? In the language of 2 Timothy 4, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Notice this, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This prize belongs to the Lord, and he is graciously going to give it to all who run the race. He has defined the boundaries. He has told us, because he loves us, how to run, what we are running for. He has picked us up when we were dead. Corpses don't run, right? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. He has made us alive. He has provided the fuel. He has told us the direction to run. He's told us at times it's going to be narrow and uphill when everybody else is going downhill. But there is a prize that he will award to all who love his appearing.
And so that's the race. Now, the other part of that expression is you got to finish it.
Yes.
There is no consolation prize. There is no T-shirts for those who started and didn't finish. So Paul would say, I have finished the race. And so inherent in that is just some concepts of staying with it. The idea of endurance, the idea of keeping going. Book of Hebrews would talk about Jesus Christ endured the hostility of the cross. We are to endure. And so that's part of the makeup of being able to finish this race. It's not getting sidetracked. A person's out there running the race, and there can be all kinds of people on the sidelines, and they can be shouting at him and hollering at him, or mama could be there and say, hey, stop, let me take your picture. Well, he stops, he's going to get passed by everybody. So a person cannot be sidetracked by the distractions of life. Sometimes we can get slowed down because we let the little things become the big things. Our priorities get out of order, and we start chasing these little rabbits here and there in life. And pretty soon, we spend a whole day here, there, and there, and we've never accomplished anything. I remember years ago this story about this farmer, and he was going to go plow the back 40, as they used to say back in the olden days. So on the way to the barn to get his tractor out, he saw the wood pile he hadn't finished cutting. So he went to get the axe, which he forgot he hadn't sharpened, which led to this, which led to this, which led to this. At the end of the day, his wife said, did you get the field plowed? And he said, no, I'm real tired. I haven't even got to the tractor yet. Now that can be our life. We all these little distractions, and I got to do this, I got to do this. And in doing that, we forget that we're supposed to be running this race for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We need to be worshiping. We need to be letting our light shine. We got to be raising godly families. That's part of this race. And we can get busy with all these little things we got to do and forget the big picture. And so that's part of how we finish. That's how Paul stayed with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, I make it my ambition to please the Lord. That kept that prize right before his eyes.
Yeah, he said much the same thing, and even used the racing analogy in 1 Corinthians 9, right, where he emphasizes there at the end of the chapter that every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Self-control is a part of this. I hear you saying that, and knowing where I'm going to run. I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Lots of us love the idea of being able to cross a finish line, maybe in very literal physical terms. How amazing would it be to run an entire marathon and have the experience of running across the finish line and raising my arms up and, putting one of these 26-mile stickers on the back of my car to show my big accomplishment. Lots of us like the idea of realizing that goal, many, many, many fewer of us like the idea of disciplining our bodies, right? And running before the sun comes up, or running when it's raining outside, running when it's snowing. But it's that discipline, that exercise, that self-control when no one is watching that helps me realize that ultimate goal of reaching the finish line.
You know, every year at the Boston Marathon, there's always these guys show up in tuxedos. Some of them will have funny hats on, and it's just a photo op for them. Those guys will never finish the race, let alone win it. Because number one, they're not dressed for the race. You don't run a race in a tuxedo, okay? You don't run a race with a funny hat on your head. That's not going to happen. You know, you may get a lot of laughs. You may make the local news, but you're not going to win the race. So those who are serious and they've been training and training and training, they come with the right equipment, they come prepared, they've been eating right for months and months and months, getting ready for this thing. This has been in their mind. So when everyone's at McDonald's eating French fries, they're somewhere else eating salads because it's in their mind. They're loading up on carbs because they know they're going to use them at this rate. They know what to do. And that discipline makes a difference. So again, we live our lives just kind of doing whatever we want to do and hoping at the very end we can kind of sneak in. It's not going to happen. These are daily choices. Every single day we have to do that. And so that's part of this idea here. I think another characteristic of finishing a race is not getting discouraged. Again, those that run marathons have finished. I know lots of people have finished marathons. They don't quit because they didn't come in first. They're just so thankful that they could have finished. And discouragement, especially post-COVID, during COVID, has a lot to do with this. You know, life is not the way we like it. Worship hasn't been the way we like it. And so we can just be so discouraged, I quit the race. And when you quit the race, when you stop, there's not going to be any prize for you.
Yeah.
Remember the word.
You remember.
Said, yep. Have finished is what he said.
Right. And I was just going to add right there in that same context of 2 Timothy 4, we hear loud and clear, this is not a man whose life was always easy. This was not a man who never experienced a setback or even encouragement. I mean, number one, he's writing from prison, right? Number two, he's writing in the shadow of what he believes is his impending execution. And number three, some of the people who had been running with him previously had decided to stop. Just a few statements after what we're focused on about the race, he says to Timothy in verse 9, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. A few verses later, he talks about a man named Alexander, a coppersmith, who had done me much harm. He talks about how at his first defense, when he's standing there and giving an account before a Roman official who has the power to execute him, Paul says, no one came to stand by me. All deserted me. It's not that this man had a downhill, easy, carefree race. Not at all. He hit walls here and there. You know, you hear long distance runners talking about at different mile markers, hitting walls. Well, 2 Timothy 4 is full of walls, right? But what kept this man running? He says, even when everyone deserted me, the Lord stood by me. The Lord strengthened me. And Roger, to your point earlier, when some would decide, well, I'm going to stop at mile marker 13 or 14 or 17, Paul kept on running.
And you know, at the very beginning of this book, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he would say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that's able to guard that which I entrusted to him until that day. So, you know, others around you may start dropping off, and maybe even some in the family that can discourage you. But if you know what's right, you know what you have to do, you keep pushing and pushing yourself on. And that's kind of the language we find here with Paul. So that leads to a question. He said, I have finished. When do we finish?
Yeah.
And where's that ribbon we cross?
Yeah. Well, in the context of 2 Timothy 4, it is ultimately when life on earth is done. Just before this, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He's not talking about his departure from the city of Rome or his departure from Asia Minor. He's talking about his departure from life on this earth. And we hear him in other places, in a variety of different letters, saying, I desire to depart and be with Christ. That is far better than anything that I enjoy here on this earth. And yet I know there is still work to do. There are still miles to cover. And so I'm going to run as long as the Lord sees fit to keep me here. And when it is time for the Lord to take me home, I will be ready. I will have fought. I will have run. I will have finished.
And that's just a very, very important understanding, because there's lots of things in life that we complete, we finish, and then, but life goes on. You get to the point when you're finished with your schooling. You're done with high school. You're done with college. You got the degree you needed. You don't just keep going to school. You move on. You're still living, but that your school days are over. Some of us can work so long that we get to retire. So we don't have to get up early in the morning on Mondays and fight traffic and go to work, because I am retired. I'm finished with work, but life goes on. Here, we're not talking about that. Here, life changes, but you keep going in that race. And this is important for some of our older folks to understand. We sometimes make analogies to the business world and the church or our Christian life. And so I put in my time, I've retired, so I don't do anything spiritually. Not so. The race isn't over. Now, it may be because of voice, because of mental things, because of physical things, you can't do what you did when you were 20 or 30, but the race isn't over. You can still encourage. You can still find ways to teach. You can still influence. And so the race is never over until God calls you home. Satan's not done with you either. Satan's going to keep tempting you as long as you got life in your body. And so that race, that fight, that keeping, those keep going on until the Lord says, okay, cross through this door. Now you're done.
Yeah. Roger, one of my favorite things to think about in terms of this analogy of the race, I referenced 1 Corinthians 9 earlier, and verse 24 is where Paul says, don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. So, okay, I live with the mindset that I'm going to run as fast and as hard as I can. I'm not going to sit in the spiritual rocking chair and watch as others run. I'm going to run as if there's only one prize being given. And yet in so many other places, he has a powerful way of showing us that we are surrounded by runners. You know, you think of Hebrews 12, the beginning of that chapter. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who has already run and in a sense is cheering us on. You know, you mentioned discouragements earlier. The reality is at times we've got bruised and skinned up, bloodied spiritual knees. At times, again, to borrow from Hebrews, our knees feel weak and our hands are drooping. But we're not alone. You know, it's the clips on NBC. You know, we've got the Summer Olympics coming up, hopefully, this year. And the clips that always get me are those of some long-distance runner who has fallen. And you can tell, without help, they're probably not going to be able to finish. But someone stops, or a father comes out of the stands and gets down and lifts that runner up and puts their arm over their shoulder and helps them cross the finish line. We run as if there's only one prize, but we are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who are running with us and are there to help us along the way.
And we're there to help them as well. And when we see someone fall, we pick them up and we limp together, and together we cross that finish line. And that, and the key of all this is finishing. In Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, well done, good and faithful servant. He finished, he completed what he was supposed to do. And so God has a task for us, and we're busy in this fight. We're busy in this race, and every day is a new day, but we got to stay with it until it is finished. And what noble words could be said to us that we stay, that we finished, that we kept, and we completed what God wanted us to do.
Yeah, it's been a tough year. You and I have recorded in every different environment I think that we could imagine. We've been able to be face to face in the studio over the past year. We've been remote at kitchen tables and in our own closets and various places. But the race isn't done, right? By the Lord's grace, in accordance with his plan, there is still territory to cover. There's still a fight to fight. And we're thankful for the opportunity to continue to be an encouragement to each other, to be an encouragement to our listeners, and to be so encouraged by them. We hope this little series in March of 2021 has been helpful and encouraging to you. Maybe you know someone who could use a little bit of encouragement and they have no idea about this podcast. Our hope is not only to be an encouragement to you, but to put something practical in your hands that you could share with someone who's maybe been bloodied and battered by the past year. We would love it if you would take this material and share it with them. All that we want to do is encourage you and help you on your journey and point you to the one who is making this ultimate prize available. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that today's episode has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for this journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is truly yet to come.